Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, before we hop into things, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Ben. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Gene, we are well into our winter season here. You know, it's nice and chilly, a little bit of sun in Columbus, but starting to feel like we're well into the winter season. Can you tell listeners a little bit about what our teams have going on right now?
Yeah, so we have some of our teams that are fortunate enough to have some breaks for the holiday season. But then we have some others who still have contests, men's and women's basketball, for example, still have contests and swimming. And so we're kind of in that spot where a number of our teams are really allowing their student athletes to have breaks, and the schedules allow that. So really proud of them and how well they've done. And we'll talk about two of them today, but we're in that spot where we're ready to take some breaks and give our kids a chance to break. And then we have commencement coming up. We have close to 100 athletes who will graduate on Sunday the 17th. And so really, really fortunate that they'll have their opportunity to put their hats and gowns on and get their sheepskin, and we'll be able to celebrate them.
It's always great when we can get that piece of paper. But as Gene alluded to, today we're going to take some time to highlight two of the most exciting, entertaining, and successful programs here at Ohio State. I have two wonderful guests. In her seventh season at the helm of Ohio State women's ice hockey program, our first guest has established the Buckeyes as a national force that can't be overlooked. In just six seasons, she led the team to its first ever national championship and was just one goal away from back-to-back championships. We're very excited to be joined today by Nadine Muzzerell. Nadine, how are we doing?
I was good until you reminded me of that loss. I'm all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. A wise man once said, people don't forget.
That's they right.
our next guest is in his 11th team here at the helm of Ohio State's men's ice hockey program, leading the program back into the national picture. During his tenure, the Buckeyes have finished in the top four of the Big Ten, seven of the last 8 years, and have three top two seeds in the league tournament in that span. Very excited to be joined today by Steve Rolick. Coach Rolick, how are we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
Very excited to have you. As we mentioned, this is, you know, very exciting time of year for both of your programs. You both are well into your competitive schedules. Nadine, I want to start with you. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about this year's team and what makes them different from your previous rosters.
Sure. I think this year's team, I would say, in my time here at Ohio State, is probably the most individually skilled, talented players that we've had. I always look at it as like it's a really kick-ass fast car, and I'm just trying to enjoy the ride. And you know, I think our staff did a great job in the spring picking up, I would say, the majority of the elite players in the transfer portal that were looking to join a program to develop them and also, you know, have a chance to win a national championship. Most are 1 or 2 year seniors, so with them they bring a lot of college experience, but a lot of them have represented their nation at the highest level. And so I think that they do a really good job of, yes, individual talent, and we've done a great job over the last 3 months of making it all work together. And I think, you know, with the returners and the new kids, they've just really have gelled. We're 15-2 now, and it's the best start to the first half of the season we've had since I've been a Buckeye. So very excited for what the second half looks like.
Sure. Yeah, you mentioned the experience and the individual skill, but other than that, what qualities did you identify about your team kind of going into this season that you knew you would want to highlight?
Oh, their compete level, their absolute relentlessness. And as you brought in the salt to the wounds, the returners remembered losing by one goal last year in the national championship. And that was tough because that was the first time in years that we didn't score a goal in a game. And it was hard to lose 1-0 at the most important moment of your career. And so I think the returners brought that quality not so much regret, but more of like, what else could I do to have been better to have won that game? And we did that too. It's not just on the athletes. I did that. I know I self-reflected a lot as a coach. And to me, when we get to that level, it's not physical. It's just the mental side. So we actually did some really dug deep in finding how to coach the athletes better as coaches. And we got with a group that I think has done a very good job with us to afford us that opportunity to learn as coaches. But I think the athletes, honestly, the quality that they bring back is that bitter taste. And then of course the new kids coming in, especially the freshmen, I'd say we have one of the best freshmen recruiting classes in the country, with three of them being on the U18 national team and two of them being the captain for their teams. And they'll bringing in leadership, and same with the returners and the new kids bring in not just experience, but leadership to build and guide this program. So when we get to, you know, that cutthroat moment in the season, they'll be more mature as an athlete and balanced and calm in those tense moments.
That's great. Steve, tell us a little bit about the men's team this year. What do you think makes them unique?
Well, I can honestly say the biggest thing that pops out is 15 new players. I mean, that makes it unique and something different that, you know, we haven't dealt with in a long time. And I think Nadine hit it on the head a little bit with talking about a portal and what the portal means. And you're almost a GM trying to work an organization and understanding what you have. And, you know, we have 10 guys that signed pro contracts over the last 2 years. So you're not only dealing with seniors, you're dealing with underclassmen signing pro contracts. You're trying to balance that with bringing freshmen into the program, with waiting for the portal as well, and trying to have that balance. So I think that's always been a challenge, and especially over the last few years with the kind of the end of the COVID situation. We have one more year with, the COVID eligibility. So it's really a balancing act, to be honest with you, that we haven't seen in a long time. So for me, the uniqueness is again, having 15 new guys in the program. So a lot of our work's actually been off the ice and team building and chemistry. And you mix that with, 4 new support staff members and 3 new coaches. So you really got a whole new world.
Yeah. What areas did you specifically focus on coming into this season with your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing and the biggest challenge is a lot to do with off the ice for this group. It was the chemistry and it was the communication, and not only with the team, but with the staff, and because we're one unit. And so with the guys that came in and with this whole new group, we spent an awful lot of time with really getting to know each other, spending some video time, each guy putting a video together, and for us to understand who they are, what their background is, how many dogs, how many cats they have, what they like to do away from the rink. And again, as you bring these new guys into your locker room, some are grad transfers, some are freshmen. The sooner we could become a team, the better we were going to become as a unit. And we can see the light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Absolutely. Gene, some of the listeners may have heard that we're in the planning stages for a new ice rink here on campus. Can you talk a little bit about that project and why it's important to our department?
Yeah, I think it's, why we really need to have an opportunity to build a facility where, both of our teams can develop their student athletes. And we're looking at a spot that's just north of Covelli Arena, really across from the sports medicine facility. And we think we're going to hear the number of what it would actually cost us in the next couple of weeks. And so we've been actively fundraising towards it, but you got two of the best coaches in the country right here that we're talking to, and they've done such a phenomenal job in developing student athletes and developing our programs. And so we want to make sure that they have an environment where they can teach their student athletes to be the best that they could be. And so that's really the main focus is the facilities are the classrooms for our coaches and our student athletes, and having a place where they can do a better job of teaching is critical for us. So we're going to continue to drive towards the fundraising and hopefully get that done. And that'll probably be something that the next athletic director will have to inherit and move forward. But I want to try and get as much of it done as I possibly can before I transition out, because these are, you're talking to the best coaches in the country right here.
Gene mentions the active fundraising campaign. Anyone who would like to make a contribution can call the Buckeye Club at 614-292-9908. I would be remiss of my responsibilities if I didn't throw a little plug
in. Good job, Ben. Good job.
But Gene, how long has this project been on our department's horizon?
Oh, for God, for years. You know, this goes back to when we started the framework plan for the university, the original one. When President Gordon Gee was here, and he hired a firm called Sasaki out of New York to actually do a study for the university. We were already doing a master plan with a company called HOK for athletics, and we halted that plan in order to integrate with the university. So the bottom line was ultimately the university in that plan wanted to clear the St. John site so that site could be used for academic growth. And so that's why we built the Shoemaker and Covelli first, because frankly, all the activities in St. John have been moved out. There's offices in there. There's a couple locker rooms in there for some of our teams, but ultimately that was the goal. And then the other part of the goal was to move ice hockey, women's ice hockey off of that site. The mechanicals and there's some shared services between St. John and that ice hockey facility. So that's always been on it and a plan. And then we always talked about men's ice hockey and can we possibly build a facility that would accommodate both of them. And financially, it's just too problematic. So we want to build a facility that ultimately, from a practice point of view, both of those teams can teach and prepare while the men will continue to compete in St. John. And in the shot, we will be able to have them both practice in that facility. So it's been on the board for a long time, Ben. I can't even remember the year it started. I came in 05, and it was shortly after that when we started. So everything that started that's in the athletic district came from that original framework plan, the tearing down of Buckeye Village and building that program up. And so a lot has happened over the years, including planning for this ice hockey facility. And we've looked at about, I don't know, 6 or 7 different plans.
Steve, Nadine, I want your guys' feedback on this too, but Gene, I wanted to start with you, whether it goes to the planning process for the facility or just programmatically in general, what benefit do you think we gain from the presence of an NHL program in the same city as our school?
Well, I'll let the coaches speak to that, so they can talk to that better than me.
Steve, let's start with you.
Sure. I mean, I think it's incredible. I mean, you see what Nadine's done and what she's done with this women's program and what it means for women's hockey. And you look around at the chillers and you just see the excitement. And this all starts from the Blue Jackets. This all starts from the NHL. And so when you have all three of our teams doing what we're doing, my son's gone through the program. I think Nadine's kids are going through programs here in the skating. You see the excitement and certainly we've had a great relationship with the Blue Jackets. They're invested. And I think that's really important when you have a franchise like that, that's really invested in this community. We all feel that. And not only as a hockey coach, but as a dad, I see that with my son and I see the large growth and I see what's happening here in this town coming from Minnesota. You're born with a hockey skate in your crib. I see a lot of that excitement down here right now, just in the 14 years that I've been here.
Nadine, what do you think?
Absolutely. I'd like to echo, what Steve said. The Blue Jackets have been a great, have had a great relationship with us. You know, I just did their development camp in the summer. They asked me to come out and be a part of their training camp, which was an honor for them to ask me. And like Steve said, my kids have gone through the program, and they've just over the past couple of years have developed 3 youth girls groups, you know, and I think that is, again, a contribution to what OSU has done for the men and the women. And people are going to our games and they want to be a part of that. And kids see that and they get to know our athletes personally within the community. And they grow up and as they grow up, they want to be like a Sophie Jakes or an Emma Malte. And they see that and they want to, you know, they want to mirror that. And I think also, you know, with the community and the hopes of this rink, you know, I think one of the problems that we've had is don't have a lot of facilities in Columbus. And I think that there's a lot of demand, but we just don't have a lot of supply right now. And hopefully, you know, with the new rink, that brings a lot more buzz and kids wanting to play. I just remember a few years back when Steve and our team were in the Frozen Four, and it was like the third time in history in sports in college hockey that has happened, that the men and women were both in the Frozen Four. And I had this missed call from New York, and I'm like, who do I know from New York? And so I called this number back, which I don't usually do, but called this number back. He's like, hey coach, it's John Tortorelli. I just want to let you know I'm so excited of what you and OSU are doing for the hockey community here in Ohio, and I'm so excited. So actually throughout my career, he's called me from time to time to lift me up or congratulate me. And I remember when we won the national championship a couple of years ago, he was one of the first to text me. It's about bloody time that you won this thing. So I just think that, you know, it's just a great relationship. And I think that we're going to continue to hold that and grow it. And hopefully that impacts, you know, the youth.
Yeah. Well, my daughter turns 3 in March, Nadine. I don't know when the scholarship offers start coming in, but we're going to start lacing them up and see how we can do.
Perfect. Let's go.
Well, to that point, most people don't know that we actually oversee Nationwide Arena. We help manage it. And so the Blue Jackets are obviously the primary tenant. And they do such a great job. So everything that Steve and Nadine shared is so spot on. They're just great people to work with, and they're so solid and committed to the community. And so we wish them the best as they have their season going on, and hopefully they can enjoy it. And anytime you have a pro team, you know, in your town, and you have that sport in your collegiate portfolio, there's always great relationships. And Steve and Nadine talked about that. Well, we just experienced that with soccer, of course, with the Crew winning the MLS championship, the cup, and right here in Columbus. And so for both of our soccer programs, or for our kids in our soccer program, that's, you know, that means so much. And so it's just a lot. So that relationship with the Blue Jackets is huge.
Certainly. Steve, last year you led your team to the regional final of the NCAA tournament. How did you try and carry that success over? I know you saw a lot of new faces come in, but how did you try and build off of that coming into this year?
Well, I mean, again, that's a good question. And I think that starts with expectations, and that should be your expectation every year. And that's something we talk about a lot. And that's the exciting part about going to this university and being a part of these programs, as Nadine and I have been talking about. And obviously we're not off to the start we want, but again, the people talk about that when you can put your team in positions for success like that, again, both on and off the ice, that's why recruiting is so important. And when you can talk about what you expect to come here and players to come here to Ohio State, you want to be part of winning teams and you want to put yourself in position to be in national tournaments. And we've been fortunate to be knocking on the door. And again, we want to continue to get there. And again, we were close last year. There's only two other teams that went farther than our team last year in the history of men's hockey. So again, it's exciting, but we know how hard it is to win at this level. And we're just going to continue to push the envelope. And again, our guys understand that, but we want to continue to keep those expectations.
Certainly. Nadine, we talked a little bit about last season, and you mentioned how that has created a little bit of a hunger in the returning athletes. But when you look at that game, what specifically did you take away from that experience that you feel like you were able to translate into this season?
just lose Nadine.
Oh,
did
lost her connection. We will get her back on and ask her that question when she returns. Gene, when to a similar question for you, Gene, you've seen some seasons end with trophies here in your time at Ohio State, but you've seen more end in defeat. What do you say to coaches in those moments where you have the opportunity to reach the ultimate high and you fall a little bit short?
Yeah, so my job is to be more of a listener in those situations, and all those situations is to just be a listener and be there for them, to help them go through the reflection of that moment. Because it's not just that moment, it's the whole season. It's everything like Steve talked about. You're building up towards the expectation, and then all of a sudden when it's over, there's a lot of emotion around that. There's a lot of internal reflection around that, and you begin to second guess yourself in some situations. So being there for them to help them go through that is what I and my team of sport administrators really focus on. And but when you're blessed to have, two coaches like Steve and Nadine and the other coaches that we're fortunate to have, it makes it a whole lot easier. I can't compliment Steve enough. Steve was an assistant when we hired him to lead this program. And I saw in him as an assistant his capabilities. And, I can't be more proud of, the work that he's done with our program, because we have limitations in a lot of compared to a lot of our competitors, and he's embraced them and found a way to elevate all the exemplars that we have and the best things that we have and differentiate us in so many different ways. And Nadine's done the same thing with some of the challenges that she has, and so I the great leaders understand how to maneuver around the issues that they may face that might make it difficult for them to beat their competitors. And these two are the best at it. And so our job as administrators is to be there for them, at the end of every contest, win or lose, and then when the seasons are over, just be there for them and try our best to support them.
Taking that and redirecting the focus there, Gene, what have you personally taken away from those experiences as a leader of leaders?
Yeah, I try and keep the focus on what we can impact. The blessing that we all have, and I do in particular, is to try and create an environment for our student athletes to develop and grow. When our coaches recruit our student athletes, parents or their guardians are giving us their most cherished asset, their children. And so it's our responsibility to not just develop them on the ice. It's everything that Steve and Nadine talked about earlier, is to develop them as people and be there for them and help them through their challenges as they grow from 17 to 22 years old or whatever. And so what I always do, Ben, I because I'm not the coach, I can keep it in that perspective. And both of these coaches have done an excellent job of taking that beyond the coaching, beyond the athletic part, and actually developing the person holistically. And that's part of what we do. And that's our blessing. And so, even when, we don't win it, I keep that in mind and I reflect, and we have graduation coming up, and we're going to have, I think it's 93 kids that are going to graduate. And, so those are the things that kind of come to my forefront, that at the end of the day, these kids are going to, they had a great experience. They maybe didn't win everything they want to win, but they're getting their degree. They're going to get jobs. Or as Steve said, some are going to go pro, which is really cool too.
Yeah. Nadine, we touched on a little bit the end of last season, so I won't harp on that, but what specifically did you take away from that experience that you were trying to reflect on and bring into this year?
That's okay. I was just giving you a hard time, Ben. You know, actually, I always feel like as much as we want to win, and there's a lot of glory in that, but you definitely losing can give you a purpose and a motivation to succeed. And I think we often tell them, like, it's okay, like, fail forward. And with that, you know, what I learned is, you know, for the team and for myself too, you know, to take calculated risks, think a little deeper and less impulse. And I think when you get to that national championship game, there is a feeling of sense of urgency to win, to finish, to succeed. And I think there was an immense amount of pressure on them, self-inflicted or outside, which we have to learn to deal with the outside noise, to repeat. And, you know, I think that it was a learning moment. I feel tough for some of those players that didn't walk away with the national championship, but as we talked about, it's a holistic package, right, of getting them prepared for life after. And as Gene touched on, their parents trust in us, their most cherished object or thing is their children. And, you know, I always say I became a better coach when I became a mom, because I'm going to love you, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to be loyal, but I'm going to hold you accountable, and we're going to go through some tough times together. And I think what I learned a lot, you know, about myself too is just having that some more self-awareness and you know, flexibility, you know, that I learned a lot with you know, through COVID too, and losing, that there with that flexibility, we have to have that vision and self-awareness of, you know, what to say to them and how to train them when they come back after that loss. So I think, you know, they've swallowed that, and, you know, they've made some great strides this year. But, you know, it's a different chapter come March. So we'll have to totally forget what we accomplished this season, in the sense of that was a great, great accomplishment. But now it's a different chapter, and we're going to have to play differently and have a different game plan too.
Gene, as our department has grown and your role within this university has grown, you've built a system of support around our teams with sport ADs for each one. How have you been intentional about appropriately delegating responsibilities while also maintaining positive relationships with our coaches over the years?
Yeah, it's different this year, Ben, because I'm on my way out, so I don't spend as much quality time as I'd like to, but because I'm kind of focused on some other things. But over the years, it's been making sure that I stay connected through the student athletes. And, you know, using Steve as an example, if I go to a contest, I may go get there early enough to, he lets me go in the locker room, and I may say a few things to the kids and those type of things. Or, you know, with Nadine's team, the way it's structured when they come across the from the locker room to the contest, I'm able to be there and fist bump them. So it's just little things like that. And you know, we do have coaches meetings, so I periodically see them there. But it's this year's a little different than historical years, because I don't have that, but that relationship like I've had in the past. But it's always just being intentional about connecting. And now it's more about the support. For me, it's more about the support staff, just making sure I keep providing development opportunities for them so they can be the best that they could be. Steve mentioned he's got three new ones in the support staff, and so along with his new coaches. But, you know, we have to do everything we can in our environment with all of our employees to make sure that they're getting better at what they do. The strength coaches, the trainers, the EQ people, all those people, you know, sometimes they're forgotten, and they're actually the glue for all of our programs. And, you know, I had a big lunch with our facilities people last Friday, and just spending quality time with them and talking to them. And, you know, none of these events go off without them, none of them. And so, I don't know, I kind of spend more time in that space.
Sure. Nadine, how have you seen your leadership style change throughout your time here at OSU?
That's a great question. That might be better for my athletes to answer. I would say, well, I think they'd all agree with this one too, though. But I think empathy, I've done a lot better with the empathetic.
A lot better.
Thank you. I'll be honest, and I put a lot of pressure on myself, of course, to be elite and win all the time. And, I have to tell the story. I think I've said it before, but I remember when I got the call from Diana Sabo about the opportunity of the new head position as women's hockey coach. And I remember my husband was in the backyard, who was a Big Ten football player. And I told him, I think, OSU's calling me about this new gig as the head coach. And he just looked at me and he said, "Are you out of your mind? This is the Ohio State. It doesn't get any bigger than this." And I just remember saying, "Yeah, well, their hockey team's not very good." And he's like, "Well, go fix it." And I think what he was saying is, like, with all the resources that we get from the success of our football program, it's yours. So how you lead it is up to you. And so I think I came in, like, guns a-blazing, a young head coach trying to make a statement, trying to make change, not having your feet stuck in cement. And it was difficult because I had a vision that I don't know if a lot of people who were returning had. And so to change that culture was very difficult. But I think what changed for me was, that empathy, self-awareness, for sure. And I'd say some flexibility. And again, that goes back to, like, parenting, very similar to parenting. And but I also have a really great support staff. Like, I really like to echo what Gene said with my strength coach and medical, especially those guys. I mean, they got to keep our kids healthy and getting them back out there and producing. So I think appreciation of my staff, over the years has really helped us connect as a whole. So hopefully that's true, but, I would say, it's okay too, after you learn from COVID, it's okay to not know the answers, but we're going to figure it out. And, it's okay for leaders to understand that. And I think one thing that, that these athletes do each year is they remind you, they're very resilient, and they remind you that it's okay to not know, and we're going to figure it out together.
Right. Steve, head coaches are faced with 1,000 decisions a day, some big, some small, but what is your process for making decisions, and who do you rely on at those pivot points?
Yeah, that's a good question. And first, I remember Nadine coming in there. I was actually on the ice with the girls for 3 weeks prior to that. And you knew things were going to turn around in a hurry when she stepped foot here on campus. So it was.
And thank you, by the way, for that, Steve. I mean, you're coaching two teams for 3 weeks. Yeah, and I met the team at the first game.
Yep, I remember that. That's exactly it. So, it's just amazing when you see someone so focused and, want to make such a difference. And again, for me, being involved and being over there and seeing that coming. So Nadine's done a really nice job. And for me, the one thing about the questions, and everybody wants answers immediately, that's just where things are these days, right? I mean, you hit a button on your phone, you want an answer now. Someone comes in your office, you want an answer now. I think the one thing that I'm learning and what I have learned is again, listen. I think number one, really be a good listener, and then take some time, because your answer can affect not only who you're talking to, but a lot of other things. And I think that's some things we take for granted. So there's a lot of things that are affected by what you say, and I hope to do a better job of listening. I think that's really important. And I think you have to kind of take your time sometimes, even though everybody wants an answer instantly. And I rely on the best staff in the country. I rely on the people here, my support staff. I mean, I sit down and we try to talk through things and look at every angle and what consequences are on both sides of the answer. And then, then you make your decision and you move forward and you stay with it and you're confident with it. And I think that's the approach that I try to take.
Yeah, but before we let you two go, I would love for, if you were going to do a sales pitch, if we've got, Joe Buckeye out in the community that's thinking about how they want to spend their weekend with their family, how would you sell to them coming to watch one of your games, either at the shot or at the ice rink? What can they expect to see from your teams? Nadine, we'll start with you.
Ooh. they do say we have the best damn fans in the land. We say that about our band too, and they're always pumping out our games too. So I would say, like, when you come to our ice rink, and I know it's like an eyesore, and but it is intimate, it is obnoxiously loud, you're on the glass, you know, you everybody's high-fiving, and you know, they're all amongst each other like we're a big, really extended messed up family. Just like really getting involved in it. And you know, they love the excitement. I mean, these young women are some of the best in the world, and we have now a professional women's hockey team too, so they're coming to OSU to get a better position in their draft pick, you know, to make more money as well. And I think that there's going to be a good show, because again, you're seeing the elite of the elite, and not just within our team, but within our league. So it's going to be a great game, and a hearty feel good, you know, like I said, experience, because you feel like you're right in it. So I haven't had anyone walk away not enjoying their experience. And I think it's been a lot of fun to watch the growth of our fans. So I appreciate them.
Steve, what about you?
He's there all the time too. He's getting in on it too, and banging the glass in the back there. And so we always see Gene on weekends. So thanks, Gene, for coming out. And I love it. Have you learned, Gene, like what's going on and the sport a little bit more?
I get it. I can't skate worth a doggone, but Steve knows, and both, and you know that, you know, my wife is from Canada. So,
there it is.
You know, it's hockey nights in Canada. And then she talks about it all the time. And it's we don't miss many hockey matches.
Not at all.
Steve, what could they expect to see from the men's team?
Well, I think first and foremost, we're going to see a bunch of guys that really love this place and care. You know, every night they strap it on and they put that helmet on and they go out there. My teams are going to, you know, go from start to finish, and we're going to be relentless, and might not be all the wins or the losses, but I think what you're going to see is you're going to see 22 guys out there giving everything they got. And I think it's such a great family environment. I mean, from, you know, you go down to the Blue Jackets and, you know, compared to coming over here, I mean, you see young kids running around all over. And again, I think Nadine and I talked about it. I think it's the growth of hockey to be able to come to both our events and enjoy everything about it, and know that these guys care about this university. They're playing for that logo on the front, not their name on the back. They're playing for that logo on the front. And I think that's one of the most important things. And that's the thing I hear from every person that comes to these games. And I think that's one thing that you can walk away with.
Yeah, certainly.
Great. Both of those answers are great. The thing that's really consistent is, you know, whoever comes is going to enjoy watching the student athletes on the ice, but there is a sense of community. You know, both are different environments, but the way it's set up, it's just this beautiful sense of community. And at every contest, you're going to find something that you just love. You know, the intimacy that Nadine talked about is one thing, but then you go to, you know, go to the shot and watch a men's game, and you, that sense of family, and then all the traditions that have emerged from the student section and the band and all that is really cool. So there's you can have a good time at either one of them. So I would encourage people to, you know, to go to OhioStateBuckeyes.com and look up both of those schedules and try and get out to see these sports.
You would be hard pressed to find something more entertaining on a weekend than coming to see either of our ice hockey teams play here at Ohio State. Gene, before we bounce out of here, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what we have going on campus between now and maybe the end of the year?
Well, the biggest thing is we have commencement coming up, where we have about 3,000 students that will be graduating on a Sunday at the Shot, which will be really, really cool. And then we have some of our basketball games still going on. And then We'll start back in January with our other sports. So holiday season, hopefully everybody has a good holiday and embrace your families.
Fantastic. Well, that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. I want to thank again Nadine and Steve for joining us today. I know you guys have a ton going on right now, but appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. Be sure to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I am Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.